other side awakening.
Hello, and welcome to Divine Nation with Mario West. Our program is here to consciously activate a silent awakening in yourself and all humans on the planet. Now, here is your host, Mario West.
Hello, 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 my darling waking gods and goddesses. Welcome to Divine Nation. My name is Mario West, and I am your hostess over the highest, here to download, upload, inspire, and usher you into your bestest and brightest light, your bestest and brightest self, inviting you to open your heart, open to receive, open to give, inviting you to give your bestest love and appreciation to one and all, particularly beaming love and our gratitude to our beautiful planet. And here we are once again this week, sharing this time and space in this gorgeous matrix of light and love that spans the curvature of our Earth in all directions. So let's all close our eyes, or you can leave them open if you're out and about, driving around, walking, riding a motorbike, flying a plane or helicopter, skateboarding, whatever it is that you're doing. Let's call on our master healing angels, our guides, our unseen friends, and our collective higher selves. I'd like to call in Ananda Mahima and Mother Amma and co-creating this healing space for a beautiful planet Earth, all of our creatures, and our beautiful brothers and sisters who are here to make some changes, shifts, and releases. We ask that these changes, shifts, and releases come forth readily and easily. Everything we're all able and willing to dissolve at this time. All of our fears and terrors and worries and stress and our helplessness, our deepest grief and despair, dissolving our anger, rage, and frustration and our lack of trust, dissolving our guilt and shame and feelings of lack and self-doubt and not good enough, bringing light to those captive in darkness, dissolving our judgments, our hate, and our criticisms, our closure to our breath, our closure to love and our divinity. Opening our hearts and minds to align ourselves with the possibility of forgiving all transgressions and hurts in and out of our lives, past, present, or future. Forgiving ourselves, forgiving what pain we might have caused ourselves and others. Allowing healing and transformation to occur in all our relationships, all for the highest good, the deepest possible truth, the innermost clarity and peace, and most profound of healing. And so it is. When you're ready, you can open your eyes. We have a fantastic show for you today. This is the closing show of our summer series of Divine Nation. I have with us the beautiful beings emanating as Krishnananda and Amana Trobe, the beautiful founders of Learning Love Institute. Welcome, Krish and Amana.
Thank you.
Hello. Hello.
Yeah, here we are.
Oh, yay.
Here we are.
Yay. How are you both doing?
We're fine. Thank you.
Very good.
Yay.
Great to talk
yay.
To you.
Well, we were talking about how hot it is. It's hot in Oakland, and I know it's hot in Sedona. So we're ready, and we are here, present, and I know everyone is really excited to have you both here. And I know just based on my own healing practice and really working with folks and my students that a lot of energy is in turmoil. A lot of us are in the sort of raging seas of relationship. And so what... In your work together, what is needed for people to be able to live harmoniously with one another?
Well, I think that people have to understand themselves to start with.
Mm.
You know, they really need to know what they're bringing into a relationship, the mixture of longings and wounds and reactivity. Because people don't usually know what they're getting into when they open up to a love relationship or any relationship. And it's much more complicated than they realize.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think it's so difficult for people to create the kind of love that they seek?
Well, let my wife participate.
You know, often we are attracted to someone more from a space of fantasy rather than reality.
Yes.
So we don't often see the person for who they really are, and so we get into a lot of trouble that way. And then the other side of it is that we don't really know what we carry with us inside, what our sensitivities are, what we really need deeply in order to feel safe and open.
You know, we like to talk about four basic wounds that we bring into our relationship. You know, there's the wound around our needs, that we're not really in touch with them. Mm. And so they come out in indirect ways. So that's the first thing we have to get in touch with, is the wound around our needs, and be able to communicate them, and also be able to deal with situations where we're not getting our needs met, because, mm-hmm. you know, and then there's a wound around shame, a wound around, you know, being incredibly insecure deep inside.
Mm.
And often we cover that insecurity and with all kinds of behaviors that, you know, that makes it hard for people to connect.
And then relating can easily become very much about games rather than just about sharing and really opening deeply and showing the vulnerability.
Yes, yes.
You know, and that creates a lot of difficulties if it becomes these games, these power games.
And what are some of the games that we play?
Well, for instance, like analyzing the other, you know, instead of just sharing deeply what's happening inside, being very focused on the other.
Mm-hmm.
Feeling superior, making the other person wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we often play the parent-child game in a relationship where one person takes on the role of the parent, the other person regresses to the child, and they're both power trips of not really having to feel your vulnerability. You know, there's also the teacher-student game, there's mm-hmm. the disciple-guru game. You know, there are all these kinds of ways of hiding from really getting in touch with basic fears, insecurities, fears of being abandoned, you know, these kinds of things.
Yes. Well, it seems like in all those examples that you mentioned that it's essentially a power play where one person is sort of, as you say, more superior than the other, and it becomes sort of a fight to see who's on first or who's on top.
Yeah,
I know that with my clients, they speak of that quite often, of one-upping their partner or whomever they're in conflict with.
Right, and what's important to see is that either side of this game, like either if you play the superior or the inferior, it's both of those two roles are really a cover for deep shame, insecurity,
yes.
unworthiness.
Yes.
So whether we move more into the victim role or more into the tyrant, it's the same.
Mm-hmm. And what do you see as really the basis for shame?
You mean where it comes from?
Yes.
Originally? Well, I think that basically we're raised in an environment which doesn't really nourish the soul. It nourishes more performance. It nourishes image. It nourishes having to fulfill the expectations of parents or society. And so all these types of things pulls the child away from his essence or her essence.
Mm.
And then what happens then is we all develop a false self, false identity, and we live there. So then the way that what happens then later is we always talk about we're either like a bicycle tire that's either pumped up or deflated.
Yes.
And we go back and forth between pumping up and deflating and trying to impress people and living for approval, and it's kind of a nightmare.
Mm-hmm. It's exhausting.
Yeah.
Exhausting for most people, and actually myself too, in my own process.
Yeah.
So what do you think is the first step for people
healing?
To start really getting in touch and unraveling that inner tension, that conflict within?
Well, we talk about two aspects of healing,
mm-hmm.
what we call the male pull and the female pull.
Yes.
And the female pull is actually getting in touch with the experience of these wounds in the body as a body experience, as a sensation, as something that you're actually in touch with. And so part of the work has to do with actually going in there and feeling it and being present to it, but with awareness.
Yes. And it also, of course, it starts by the first step is admitting it.
Yes.
You know, admitting it to yourself and feeling it and then going into the body and diving into it, allowing those feelings to be there.
Mm.
Not running away from them, not covering it up with any kind of addiction or busyness, but just really going in there to feel it.
Yeah, and that is such a huge undertaking in and of itself, because we're so programmed in this day and age to resist any kind of sensation.
Yeah, especially when it's uncomfortable.
Yes.
Yes, and it is, you know, we've been running away from it for so long, and it's gotten, in a way, more and more uncomfortable because it's waiting to be felt.
Yes.
So in the beginning, when we turn towards it, it does feel uncomfortable.
Mm.
But it does also get easier.
Yes.
So, making friends with it.
Yes.
You know, I think it's very important for us to all know our story, but sometimes people can get lost in the story.
Yes.
And that also has to be done mindfully, that people don't... The story is important, but not as a story, but as an experience.
Mm.
You know, there's no healing just in telling the story unless you're able to really feel what you're saying.
Yes.
You know, but that's only the left side, what we call the female pole of healing. And many therapies sometimes omit the right pole, or the male pole, which has to do with risk.
Yes.
And really taking risks in your life. So we feel that it's incredibly important to heal from trauma and heal from shame, as you have to begin to live your life where you're testing yourself, you're mm-hmm. testing your beliefs.
What we mean with the right side, you know, taking risks, it's more about living with more dignity.
Dignity.
More truthfully, more honestly, you know, that so that you begin to live in a way where you feel proud of yourself.
Yes.
And that you clean up the messes, whether those are emotional messes that you haven't cleaned up with friends or relatives, or it's general mess, like really beginning to live in a life where you feel good about yourself.
Yes.
You know?
And yeah. What are some of the first steps of that in a practical sense?
Well, I think one step could be learning to set limits, you know.
Ah, okay. Like boundaries.
Boundaries.
You know, one thing.
We talk about two major lessons in a relationship. The one lesson is the lesson of being able to set limits. And another lesson is being able to contain frustration when you're not getting what you want. And these are basically a big risk, you know.
But coming back to the more practical, what actually would be possible, like, for instance, also beginning to be more honest in relationships, you know, beginning to address more directly what your feelings are, even if it's also uncomfortable, even if it might mean confronting something that, you know, might be scary.
Yes.
You know, or for instance, I was working with somebody and I simply asked her to go to the gym and clean her apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Just as, you know.
As a way of beginning to live with more dignity.
Okay.
Taking care of your body.
Well, we're up for a break, so
okay.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back with Krish and Amana from Learning Love Institute. So stay tuned after a word from our sponsor. Thank you.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Zoom Leadership. It's the big picture issues of the day, up close and personal capabilities of leadership, and a desirable future of constant renewal. Zoom Leadership. It's the economic crisis made clear, patterns and perspectives of leadership, and the importance of changing the way we pursue our future. Join host John Schmidt every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time. Zoom Leadership. An inside look at what's really going on in business, government, and civil society. Tune in every week on the Voice America Business Channel.
Absolute Balanced Mastery is the state of being completely aligned in mind, heart, and body with the divine. Absolute Balanced Mastery is also an exciting, evolutionary, cutting-edge holistic energy medicine, energy healing technology modality pioneered by spiritual teacher Mario West. A master ABM healing session with Mario West is a self-empowering treat. Her expertise in listening to the divine in the flesh, giving direction to dissolving past and future to bring you and your energy field to crystal clarity. Here in the now, results from over 21 years of facilitating thousands of healing journeys. Clean up your energy, dissolve your limiting beliefs, transform your old attractor patterns, and watch incredibly wonderful things happen to you. You can also study with Mario West and become a certified Absolute Balanced Mastery practitioner. For information regarding private or group appointments, classes, retreats, workshops, and ABM practitioner trainings, please email she.nikita@gmail.com. Call us at 415-563-6089 or visit us on the web at absolutebalancedmastery.com. Abundant love and blessings to you.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
This is Divine Nation with your host, Mario West. We'd love your participation in our program this week. Feel free to call in at 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Or you can send an email to shrimate@gmail.com. That's shrimate@gmail.com. Now back to Mario West.
Hey, kids. I am back, and I am here with Krish, and I'm on a trove of Learning Love Institute, and we are talking about relationships, divine partnerships. And before our break, we were talking about setting limits and containing frustration. So, Krish and Amana, what are some of the things that we can do in order to set limits, or even know what we're feeling in order to set limits?
Yeah. Well, we basically, you know, when somebody is disrespectful to us, often the first thing that happens, or when we, is that we go into shock.
Mm-hmm.
And so we talk about three levels or three stages of empowerment. And the first is just to feel the shock. Be aware that you're in shock and that you're collapsed.
Okay.
And so a lot of times you can't respond. You're just completely shut down.
Yes.
But it's very healing to love yourself in those moments. And to know that that's what's happening, because if so often in our past that we've been disrespected or humiliated or, you know, ignored and so on, and we just didn't, you know, we just collapsed. We just went into shock.
And we may have been so used to those kind of invasions and disrespects that we don't even see it as a disrespect.
Yes, you don't even know what's happening.
You don't even know it's happening, but then what you might notice is that you suddenly start to avoid the person. Or you don't want to see, or you can't see, look the person in the eye.
Yes.
You start to pull away energetically.
Or you spiritualize it. You give some
justify.
Yes.
You give some sort of spiritual thing which actually helps, avoids you from feeling what's really going on.
Yes.
So the healing movement is to begin to really take it seriously in the sense of honoring your experience, so that when you're feeling this kind of pulling inside and the shock, there's something underneath that needs to be looked at and felt.
So
usually when we hang in the shock and just bring awareness into the body and feeling it, then usually underneath we begin to feel like almost like an energy that's like, wait a minute. You know, it's an energy of some bubbling, some anger.
And that moves us into level two, which is, we call it the rage level, where you start to get in touch with the red energy, you know.
Yes.
And we don't encourage people to put that energy on each other.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we find that destructive. But what we do encourage, and we do this in the work, is where you help to make friends with that energy inside you, you know?
So more like to wake it up and to begin to embrace it in you.
You know, and you have the right to be pissed off. You have the right to be angry because of so many times we've been, you know, disrespected, and we've betrayed ourselves, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So part of that rage is that we, you know, we betray self-betrayal, you know. But it's important to mobilize that energy and say, it's not okay for me, it, you know, and so on.
And but then, again, like a meditation, we're talking about it as you're doing this on your own to really embrace that energy and wake it up and feel the aliveness that's also in that energy.
Yes.
And not to make it wrong or bad, but just to feel it's actually a very important part of you, of your being,
mm-hmm.
that you may have been out of touch with.
Yes.
And then when the charge is down, when you're not so charged, then you can come to your partner and say, you know, when you did a very specific thing, I felt hurt, I felt angry, I felt disrespected, because I really need to be respected.
Yes.
So that's the third level, which has to do with kind of, we call it centered clearing.
Yes.
You know, where you can actually have a communication where you're not attacking the other person, but you're talking about yourself.
Yes.
And that's not just with your partner. It could be with a close friend or really anybody. You know,
yes.
A family member.
Go on, Amana. Sorry.
No, that's it. I just wanted to clarify because Krish was saying partners. I just wanted to make sure that process is really with anybody.
Yes.
And I think that it's an ongoing thing. You know, these things are not linear.
No, they're not.
Yeah. So I notice in my life, but because we've been working with these things ourselves, if somebody disrespects me, I can feel the shock. I can feel how much it disturbs me.
Yes.
I can feel the anger, and I take anger walks, you know, where I don't put that on anybody, but I let myself process it, and then I'll come to the other person when I feel like I can come in peace, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, what comes up again and again in my practice when with my clients is that they will report that they're in the middle, in the heat of the fire, just right in the middle of it. And they endeavor to take space to, say, do the anger walk.
Uh-huh.
And yet their partner will, like, follow them. And
brings up the second thing.
How do you suggest handling something like that?
That brings up the second lesson. You see, because of our abandonment wound, we want to resolve the conflict. We can't stand disharmony. So we have to resolve the problem instantly.
Mm. So the abandonment wound is coming up for the other person, you know, and so they are following. So, you know, it's a question of really making a clear agreement together, you know, saying maybe at a time when you're not so charged, saying that, you know, when something does come up, I need time to process, but I will come back.
Mm.
I will come back later to talk about this, to repair this.
We always say that the wounded child has no ears, only a mouth.
That's true. Yes.
So two mouths don't resolve much, you know?
Not really.
No.
But it helps if both people are on the journey and willing to look at themselves. And then there's enough space and clarity to be able to know that, okay, I'm triggered, and right now it's not the time to talk, to process.
Yes.
I'm just triggered, so now whatever I say in this moment of trigger is not going to bring any communication.
Yes.
I mean, people vent.
What do you suggest,
you know,
at that point?
We suggest take a break.
Yes, okay.
You know?
Just a timeout.
Okay.
And if two people want to vent on each other, okay, but they should know that they're not really going to resolve much, and probably they could do damage.
Absolutely.
You know, they could say things
that they don't really want to say, they don't mean, you know, because they're just taken over by the wounded child.
Yes.
And that could be really hurtful and painful.
Yeah.
Well, we're all human, you know, we do it, but it doesn't really resolve anything. So we give very, very clear and specific tools for that. But the basic awareness is that you cannot come back to love when you're all fired up. It's you know, it just doesn't happen. You have to find out what it is in you.
And the basic understanding that's needed is really to know, I'm triggered. This is something in me. This is my stuff.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that needs to be felt, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's good that it's coming up so it can be felt. And then you can come to share.
Right, right.
Know, so that when you come to share, it's just to show more about yourself. You're not coming to change the other person.
Exactly. Or blame them.
Or blame
you
them.
You being triggered.
Yes.
That
yes.
seems to be the ongoing default that I hear over and
right.
over and over again.
If
well, they triggered me. He yes. triggered me. She triggered me.
Yes. Yeah. So if you're still blaming, it's not the time to come to talk yet.
You know, we say if you can't you cannot resolve anything if you're blaming, attacking, analyzing, or judging the other person. It's
yes.
not going to work. And the other thing is that people need to know that in any kind of deep friendship or love relationship, they're bringing all their past with them, and their past keeps getting reenacted. So they have to know that they're in reenactment all the time. And to know that is the difference, you know, and to take responsibility for that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And even to welcome it, to realize that, wow, this person is in my life, is triggering me, and there's something here for me to look at.
Yeah, it's old.
You know, instead of blaming, to changing so that there's a different attitude, so you can really, wow, this is, it's okay, this is coming up, because it needs to come up, it needs to be felt.
I really like the energy of that, because it's like, it's an invitation. It's
yes.
to, like, really embrace those very harsh, tender spots that we find
yes.
ourselves in, rather than taking those harsh, tender spots and getting harder and harsher and lobbing it all over the place.
Yeah.
We are, you know, a love relationship, any kind of deep relationship is really the most challenging meditation there is, because you can't hide anything, you know?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
really, it's the royal road to the unconscious, but it's also the royal road to a very deep meditation of knowing yourself. So
yes.
why not embrace it? I mean,
yes.
we're here to grow up. We're here to wake up.
It's like there's nowhere out but going in.
That's right.
Right. And everybody wants love, but they're not always willing to accept the shadow of love, which is difficulties.
And tell me about the shadow of love.
Well, the shadow of love is all the ways in which we bring our expectations into a relationship.
Ah, okay.
You know, and that's really what we call lesson number two, is those expectations.
Mm.
Because we have something we call the entitled child. And the entitled child is always saying, me, 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 you know. I want, give me now.
Well, we're up for a break.
Okay.
We're going to be back with Krish and Amana of Learning Love Institute after a word from our network. Stay tuned.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
Ready to lift your spirit? Join Karen Tatanich every week for Spirit Connections. Karen will share with you the power of energy work. It can get you through the good times and the tough times. Karen will bring together stories of hope and good news based on her work with all aspects of energy. There are people and companies out there that are bringing joy to our planet. You'll learn about the power of spirit at home, at work, and at play. Spirit Connections is broadcast live Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern on Seventh Wave Network.
Absolute balanced mastery is the state of being completely aligned in mind, heart, and body with the divine. Absolute balanced mastery is also an exciting, evolutionary, cutting-edge holistic energy medicine, energy healing technology modality pioneered by spiritual teacher Mario West. A master ABM healing session with Mario West is a self-empowering treat. Her expertise in listening to the divine in the flesh, giving direction to dissolving past and future to bring you and your energy field to crystal clarity. Here in the now, results from over 21 years of facilitating thousands of healing journeys. Clean up your energy, dissolve your limiting beliefs, transform your old attractor patterns, and watch incredibly wonderful things happen to you. You can also also study with Mario West and become a certified absolute balanced mastery practitioner. For information regarding private or group appointments, classes, retreats, workshops, and ABM practitioner trainings, please email she.nikita@gmail.com. Call us at 415-563-6089 or visit us on the web at absolutebalancedmastery.com. Abundant love and blessings to you. These days, everyone is looking for information on staying young, healthy, and fit. The Voice America Health and Wellness Network is here to help you on your quest to better health and a better you. We talk about everything from diet, fitness, and aging to substance abuse, personal growth, mental health, and much more. Learn from our experts who cover health and wellness from traditional and holistic perspectives. Tune in to the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. Healthy living starts here.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
This is Divine Nation with your host, Mario West. We'd love your participation in our program this week. Feel free to call in at 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Or you can send an email to shrimate@gmail.com. That's shrimate@gmail.com. Now back to Mario West.
Hi, kids. We are back, and we are back with Krish and Amana of Learning Love Institute. So, Krish and Amana, one thing that comes up again and again and again in my practice is the issue of jealousy and insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
What is the root of jealousy?
We call it the shame abandonment cocktail.
Oh, wow.
Because
that,
you know,
that says it all.
Yeah, that pretty much does it. That's like a martini, you know. Because when you fear that your lover is attracted to somebody else, it brings you face to face with two of the worst nightmares, which is one that I'm not worthy as a person, and two that I'm going to lose the person.
Yes.
And those are our deepest fears in many ways, you know. There are other fears, but those are big ones.
Wow.
You know, that I'm not lovable, and you know, deep inside in our woundedness, we believe that nobody will be there for me and I'm not lovable. So rather than feel that, we act out from it in all kinds of ways, you know. I mean, if you're Italian, you might act out a little bit more intensely than if you're American, but it's pretty universal.
Yes, yes. But what I think what's important is that it's not the fears of being alone or the pain of the unworthiness that causes the problem. It's what we do when we don't want to feel the pain or the fear.
And what are some of the things that we do?
Well, we might get very controlling, for instance, to avoid feeling the fear. Losing the other person, you know, like, I don't know, what, check emails or whatever messages or, you know.
Or we could sleep around, you know, keep things superficial, you know, because if you really go deep in a love story, then all the worst fears are going to come up. And you know, I think, first of all, we all need tools to deal with them, but we also need to know what it is that's coming up. Otherwise, you know, it just hits us like a truck.
Yes.
And you need to know what it is that you're dealing with and make some kind of sense out of it. We call that framing.
Yes.
You know, and to know
otherwise,
this is...
Yeah, otherwise, it's so painful and so difficult if we don't know what it is.
Yes.
And if we don't know that it's really a spiritual journey to feel those feelings.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's so easy just to go into some addiction, you know, to eat too much or drink too much or work all the time.
Right, or the whole sleeping around thing. I know
it
comes up quite a bit. The whole issue, the whole open relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe in open relationships? Do they work?
Well, I think it's a question of timing in life. You know, I think that there might be a time in your life when when that suits you because of sexual repression, because of, you know, other reasons. And we don't have a judgment, but we do say that, you know, it's either depth or diversity. You can't have both. That's our experience.
Well, you can't have both at the same time in life. You can have different times in life where you may want to experiment and have different lovers, and then other times where you really want to go deep with one person, open all the vulnerable places.
Yes.
But we feel that people who think they can have depth and diversity are fooling themselves.
Yes,
and
I agree with that.
Sooner or later, somebody is going to act out or feel horribly betrayed. And we deal with this all the time. You know, people may have even a religious philosophy around it. But honestly, if you really go deep and you really start to expose your vulnerability and heal your vulnerability, I don't think, unless you're a Buddha, I don't really think you can handle it.
Yes.
And there aren't that many real Buddhas walking around. So,
yes.
So, I mean, that's our experience, and that's what we teach. I mean, basically, we're interested in teaching people to live their truth, but not to fool themselves.
Yes. And also, there's something about, you know, the deep, deep layers, the deep sensitivity and the deep vulnerability that opens more and more, almost like a flower, the more you're together. And to bring another person in would be really like a, you know, like a distraction, or it can easily be just, then you can be involved with that and not go deeper.
Yes.
You know, so it's not that it's bad or wrong, but it's just maybe it takes, the journey takes on a different way or different direction. Then.
Yes, which brings us to commitment. What does commitment mean?
Well, first of all, I think we talk about commitment coming from a place of understanding and not from a concept or a rule.
Yes.
Because if it comes from a concept or a rule, it's basically not going to work.
Yes.
But if, you know, when Amana and I entered into our relationship, we both had reached a point in our lives where our understanding was that we wanted to commit. We wanted to be, to, you know, that it's enough to be total with one person.
Yes.
And that means being responsible for your energy. It means being willing to say, look, I'm here. We're going to go through the tough times together.
And it's also, you know, it's a deep commitment. I mean, for me, I feel it as a deep, deep commitment inside to always being true.
Mm.
You know, meaning being honest, looking, being willing to keep opening, even if all the wounds are, you know, open, and, you know, that kind of willingness to hang in there, to go through the difficult times.
Because there will be difficult.
Does any of that involve compromise? Because people talk about compromising,
right,
and that relationship is all about compromise, and that if you're in an intimate relationship, you're going to compromise. I'm not quite sure.
I don't really like so much that I don't feel that at all. I mean, I don't feel inside at all that I'm compromising. I feel each moment it's really a choice being together, and a gift. But there is, of course, accommodation. I mean, we have to accommodate living together. We may not like exactly the same way of, for instance, having the house. I mean, we have to accommodate, you know, the temperature or how the you know, with food or with cleanliness, things like this. But in terms of the essential of what's really important, we never compromise.
Mm.
Well,
you know?
I think that there's also, you know, when you choose to be with one person, there are some necessary losses in the sense that, okay, you're not going to have as much variety, and you aren't going to be able to be making love to new bodies.
Mm-hmm.
You won't have, you know, certain lifestyle changes are happening, but you realize that what you're getting is a whole lot better than what you may have given up.
Yes.
So I think that's what we mean by understanding. When you've reached the point where you see that by really committing, you're getting so much more than what you might have to let go of by not having the variety, then you get it. It's not like you're doing something because somebody's forcing you, you know?
It's a choice. It's not a compromise.
Yes.
You know, but in terms of, like, for instance, is important not to, you know, give up things that are important to you for the relationship, that would be a compromise. You know, like, for instance, if I would not go out with friends because maybe Krish would not like it or would be unhappy, that would be a compromise if I didn't do it.
Yes.
So that's really important to keep doing those things, whatever that might be.
And if I wanted her to give up something that was important to her, that would be an invasion, and she would have to set a limit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ah, yes.
You know. Because
what should a person do if he or she feels that his or her partner is not as available as they would want them to be?
Breathe.
That's the second lesson, which is containing frustration when you're not getting what you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
because you're not going to get what you want. You're not going to get everything you want. You know, you know, part of a real relationship is frustration.
And that's a good growth journey to grow into being able to contain that frustration when you're not getting what you want. But that's different if your partner is never available.
Yeah.
And if he never wants to spend time together and always is away, that would be different.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that, because what I hear a lot from people is, and I think a lot of this is this sort of New Age befuddlement of getting what I want. Mm-hmm. And the application, the erroneous application, I think, of the law of attraction to the point where it's so self-centered. What I want, this person is going to give me what I want right now in the way that I want.
Uh-huh.
And I just laugh sometimes.
Right.
All I can do.
I mean, I think that the child can grab a hold of any philosophy.
Or the child will, you know, do anything not to feel pain. Because, you see, by feeling this frustration and the pain, the inner space grows.
Yes.
And that's what's needed, and that's one of the huge lessons in relationship or friendship or love, is to find that space inside where you can just be with yourself.
Mm.
You know, you're not always going to get what you want, whether it's from a friend or a lover.
Yeah.
Well, for instance, if you feel you need more connection with your beloved or friend, you can express that you have that need, as long as it's a request and not a demand.
You know?
And if the person receives it as a request, then they feel the freedom to say, wow, I hear you, and I would like that also. Or, you know, I feel that as a demand, and that shuts me down.
Yeah.
Or I can hear your need, but right now for me, it's not true for me to be together, you know?
Yeah. Well, we're up for another break.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have a word from our network and be right back with Krishna Mana Learning Love Institute. Stay tuned.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Are you a wow? A wise, outrageous woman of a certain age who wants thrilling work, vibrant health, joyful relationships, financial freedom, and the new F word, fun, in the next stage of life? Join host Lynn Schreiber in the Wow Zone each week, where you'll meet amazing women who are creating lives filled with passion, purpose, and pizzazz. In the Wow Zone, broadcast live every Tuesday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Anything is possible.
Absolute Balanced Mastery is the state of being completely aligned in mind, heart, and body with the divine. Absolute Balanced Mastery is also an exciting, evolutionary, cutting-edge holistic energy medicine, energy healing technology modality pioneered by spiritual teacher Mario West. A master ABM healing session with Mario West is a self-empowering treat. Her expertise in listening to the divine in the flesh, giving direction to dissolving past and future to bring you and your energy field to crystal clarity. Here in the now, results from over 21 years of facilitating thousands of healing journeys. Clean up your energy, dissolve your limiting beliefs, transform your old attractor patterns, and watch incredibly wonderful things happen to you. You can also study with Mario West and become a certified absolute balanced mastery practitioner. For information regarding private or group appointments, classes, retreats, workshops, and ABM practitioner trainings, please email she.nikita@gmail.com. Call us at 415-563-6089 or visit us on the web at absolutebalancedmastery.com. Abundant love and blessings to you. Step into the doorway to conscious choice, greater health, and well-being. Attain the balance that you've been seeking. Tune in and turn on 1111 Talk Radio. Feed the mind. Embrace positively. Release the tension. Step out of fear. Host Simran Singh will help you broaden your mind and open your heart toward a greater understanding of how to take charge of your life. 1111 Talk Radio is here every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on Seventh Wave Network. 1111 Talk Radio. Because shift happens.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
This is Divine Nation with your host, Mario West. We'd love your participation in our program this week. Feel free to call in at 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Or you can send an email to shrimate@gmail.com. That's shrimate@gmail.com. Now back to Mario West.
Hello, kids. We are back, and we are back with Krish and Amana Trobe of Learning Love Institute. So, Krish and Amana, I have clients that will just tell me flat out that I'm doomed. I'm never going to have a love relationship. It happens for other people. I am just damaged goods. Do you think that it's possible that some people who have been so traumatized in their childhood that they can never be in a stable relationship?
No, I don't think that. I don't think that that's true. I think that anybody can be in a stable relationship, but I think that everybody really has to be very committed to their own growth. Mm. And also, I think that, you know, for somebody who has been traumatized, it's produced a lot of shock and a lot of fear in their system, and that can be worked with. Mm. And if they can begin to feel how that affects their life, how it affects their body, and to start to be really compassionate with themselves, that can definitely heal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely, and also to, you know, it can help to really guide the person into feeling and experiencing that place inside that was never touched by any trauma. Mm. You know, their being was never touched as, and is as innocent and as untouched and pure as in all of us. Mm. So that's really important to also keep having that perspective that, of course, we've all been traumatized in different degrees, but it's also a question of the identification. You know, how much we keep holding on to that identification of what happened then.
Yes.
So that's not who we are.
Yes.
You know, there's something that needs to be felt, yes, but still that's not who we are.
Yes.
And if you look at it more in spiritual terms, I mean, everybody is given something, and some of it was very painful, but there's also amazing gifts that come out of that, amazing sensitivity and intuition that can arise out of pain, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, pain is the great consciousness raiser.
Yes, it is.
So, you know, it depends on how we relate to it. You know, if you relate to it, I wouldn't go so far as to say it's a gift if somebody is really deep in their pain, because they're not ready to hear that. But
there may come a time when they are able to see that actually it was a gift. You know, not to use that idea as an excuse not to feel the pain, but at the same time to realize that, okay, this is happening, and it's always happening for the good. Yes. Meaning there's something that I'm learning here, even though it's extremely painful.
Yes.
You know.
You know, and people, we really want to communicate to people that you have to do the work. There are no shortcuts. You have to hang out with workshops, with somebody, a therapist, or some counselor that you really learn to trust, and you work through all your mistrust issues with that person. Hang in there.
Yes.
And it's going to work, but it's all based on your intensity and your commitment to the growth.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the healing potion.
Yes. And would you say that it's important to forgive our parents?
Yes and no. Of course it's important, but first you have to forgive yourself. And
yes.
And that means that you have to feel what effect the trauma's had on you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people jump much too quickly into this concept of forgiveness, and they haven't done the work.
Yes.
And it's phony. It's not real. It's
yes.
a concept.
Because even just to have this idea that I have to forgive means that you're not ready.
Yes.
Because forgiveness is not something you have to do.
Yes.
It's just something that happens so naturally when you see that they did the very best they could. It's not about you forgiving them.
Yes.
Because you're not higher than them. You're not above them. Who are you to forgive? It's not about forgiveness
exactly.
in that sense. It's about understanding that they may have been very blind. They may have not been able to care for you in the way that you needed it. And that's painful, yes. There's a lot of pain to be felt for yourself and for them. But it's not really about forgiveness.
Yes. So in other words, it's a discovery that
yes.
this is the best they could.
Yes.
They love you and care for you. And there's nothing really to forgive.
That's right.
I think that happens, but first you have to really embrace your own wounded part and see what happened to her.
Mm-hmm.
See what it was like
yes.
to go through when you were 4 years old and there was nobody there or nobody listened to you or you were beaten or you were sexually abused. What was that like for this delicate body, you
yes.
know?
And see that you couldn't do differently, that you did the very best you could, you know? That maybe you're very hard on yourself now because you didn't stand up or you didn't whatever, but you couldn't do differently. You're dependent on these people.
Mm.
You know, you couldn't just go and get other parents.
And, and one of the things that we deal with a lot, and you probably do too, is I've done so much work, I should have gotten it down by now.
Yes. That is like...
And that, you know, we always say
like
the proof
acid.
Of the pudding... Yeah, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. You know,
mm-hmm.
if your life is working on five areas, the way you treat your body, food you put in your body... that you have good relationship, your creativity is flowing, you have a healthy sexuality, and you have a good spiritual connection.
Mm-hmm.
If your life is working on those five areas, then you can start to say to yourself, I've done the work.
Mm-hmm.
But until that, you know, until that happens, there's more work to do.
Yes.
And so what, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And also to stop seeing it as if there's a goal. You know, the journey is always unfolding. It's not that there's any goal or any place to go to. It's just a journey, you know?
Yes,
and the
absolutely.
And the more we can enjoy the journey, the more we're learning, actually.
Yes.
You know?
It's not so black and white. I hear people saying, all right, I've got the one, the relationship. And I'm like sitting there going, okay.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean exactly?
Right.
And then, you know, the next day, there's trouble in that paradise because
mm-hmm.
it isn't well, a goal. It's not something that you
right.
attain and that's it.
Right.
Well, our culture, yeah. the American culture, is very, very goal-oriented.
Yes.
You know, this is something that we don't find so much
yes.
when we're working in Europe because they don't have the same kind of focus on results that we do, you know?
Yeah.
There's more of a willingness to hang in there in the journey.
Okay. Well, we've got 2 minutes until our close, so if you can tell us about what the two of you are up to in workshops and books and...
Well, you know, we work here in Sedona. We do individual work with individuals and couples. They come here. We also have a big seminar schedule all over the world. We do a workshop once a year in Sedona, but most of our workshops are in Europe or in Asia or in Latin America. But we,
so
you know,
we're going in a couple of weeks. We're going to Mexico for a workshop, and then in about a month we go to Italy and Switzerland and Turkey to do some workshops there.
So, and how can folks get hold of you and get in touch with you?
Well, we have our website. It's learningloveinstitute.com, and our email is info@learninglovinstitute.com. So, yeah, welcome
anybody
to write.
Anybody's welcome to write to us, and we answer all emails. You know, anybody that wants to write us, we take the time to answer. We don't do therapy by email, but we certainly answer people's questions.
That's wonderful. And you have these fabulous books. Face to Face with Fear, Transforming Fear into Love, When Trust Fails and How to Recover It, Learning to Trust Ourselves and Others, Stepping Out of Fear, Breaking Fear of Pain and Suffering, and When Sex Becomes Intimate. I can't find that one.
When Sex Becomes Intimate.
They're all available on Amazon.
And they're all available on Amazon and on learningloveinstitute.com.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Krishanamana.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, listeners, for all of your love and support during this trek of Divine Nation. And be good to each other, love and light. Thank you.
Thank you.
Namaste.
Thank you again for joining us for Divine Nation on Seventh Wave Network. Mario West will be back next Tuesday at 5 p.m. in the East, 2 p.m. in the West. We hope you'll join us too.
It's only a dream of a dream. This world is not what it seems. We are the wind that carries the seeds. We are the roots of the banyan tree. We are love.